Well, take your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 3 again this evening, as we did this morning. As I said this morning, I preached the message I called Beginning in the Spirit, and I was going to follow that up tonight with a message on continuing in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, the same verse that we used as our primary text verse. This morning, the Apostle Paul, writing the inspired Word of God to the Galatians, he says this, "Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" Now, this verse, as it reads, it implies two things, at least. It implies more than that, but at least two things that are relative to us. One is that we begin our Christian life as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And that if we are to progress in our Christian life, it is also going to be by the work of the Holy Spirit of God in us. And of course, we must cooperate with the Spirit of God. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. I fear that we, in our Baptist churches, that we have neglected the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Not long after I got saved, back in the 70s, there was a lot of emphasis in the Independent Baptist work about being filled with the Spirit of God, what it meant to be filled with the Spirit of God. A lot of emphasis given to the Holy Spirit, but that emphasis seems to have waned. And I think that a lot of the reason is this, is we are fearful that we will be confused with the charismatics. And of course, they take the person of the Holy Spirit, and I am convinced that they have a lot of misunderstanding about the Spirit of God, and that there's a lot of false teaching out there, and we are fearful that we'll be identified with the charismatic movement. But that is not the case. We should give Him His proper place. And I hunger to see the work of the Spirit of God in the salvation of souls and in the maturing of God's people. I hunger for that. So much of what we see is in the flesh and not of the Spirit of God. And it is so obvious if you stand and just watch and analyze things in light of the Word of God. So, are ye so foolish, he says, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect in the flesh? Father, please bless the preaching of Thy Word tonight. Please help me to think clearly, to speak simply and plainly. I don't want to be misunderstood, and I realize when you're talking about subjects, as I talked about this morning and this evening, that it would be so easy for somebody to just hear part of what I said and therefore misunderstand completely what I'm trying to say. And I don't want that to be the case. Please help me to make things clear and simple, and please help the people to listen, to soak in every phrase, every sentence, every word, to not just pick up bits and pieces, but Lord, to just take it all in, that the Word of God could bear fruit in our lives, that we could be matured by the Word of God, used by the Spirit of God in us. Oh, please, God. Oh, I want to see our church. I want to see our church grow numerically. And that can only be done by the work of the Spirit of God saving souls. But then I want to see us grow spiritually. I want to see us mature. And that can also only be done by the work of the Spirit of God. Please, Holy Spirit, help me to make Your ministry, at least portions of Your ministry, plain to us tonight. And everyone said with the preacher, Amen. The Galatian saints, like all true saints, having graciously been given repentance and faith by the Holy Spirit, we talked about that this morning, had responded by repenting of their sin singular, not just the things they had done, but repenting of what they are, what they were, what we are sinners, and receiving Christ as their personal Savior by believing in Him or receiving Him by faith. They had done that, like all true saints of God. Now, life in the Spirit is not a life that has just been jump-started by the Holy Spirit and then disconnected from Him. I'm afraid sometimes that's kind of the idea we get. The Holy Spirit of God does the work in our life. He gives us that repentance, and therefore we are able to repent. He gives us that faith, and therefore we are able to believe and receive. And it's like, I have a fear that we kind of have this attitude that that's what the Spirit of God does. And He jump starts our Christian life, and then He leaves us alone. And that is certainly not the case. As we talked about this morning, at the very moment that the repentant sinner receives Christ as his personal Savior, the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in him. And his body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit of God, thereby enabling him to continue his new life just as he began. He began it as a work of the Spirit of God, and now he is able to continue that as the Spirit of God works in and through him. Now that is why the book of Galatians not only talks about beginning in the Spirit, but if you go over to Galatians chapter 5 and you look at verse 16, the apostle says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Otherwise, it's not enough to begin your Christian life in the Spirit of God, but you must continue your Christian life in the Spirit of God. The word walk means the way you conduct yourself. It's your entire deportment. And then we go over to Galatians chapter 5 again, and we look down at verse 25, and the Bible says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Otherwise, we're born again by the Spirit of God. But once we're born by the Spirit of God, as the Lord told Nicodemus in John 3, we talked about that again also this morning. Once we're born of the Spirit, then we are to walk in the Spirit. We are to live in the Spirit. Otherwise, we are to continue our Christian life as it began. It is to be in the Spirit of God. Now, what does it mean to continue in, or to live in, or to walk in the Spirit of God? That is what I hope to clarify as I preach tonight. Now, over in the book of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, I think this is such a simple but a profound verse of Scripture in helping the Christian grow in the grace of God. But in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, the Bible says this, "As you therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Otherwise, you are to continue your new life in Christ just as you began your new life in Christ." And how did you begin your new life in Christ? It was in the Spirit. You were born of the Spirit of Christ, of God. Now, your new life in the Spirit began with two things. I talked about those rather lengthily this morning, and so I'm not going to go into all the details again. Just refresh your mind. But your new life in the Spirit of God begins with two things. Your new life in the Spirit begins with the Holy Spirit of God giving you repentance, and then you responding by repenting. Now remember, we said this, repentance is a noun. That's something that God gives you. Repent is a verb. That's what you do. God gives you repentance, and when God gives you repentance, you are able to repent. That is your responsibility. The Calvinists would say, no, that basically the Lord overrides your will that God's blessed you with. That's not what the Bible teaches. You have that responsibility to repent, but you are not able to accept the Holy Spirit of God give you that repentance. Now, we often call this repentance. What the Spirit of God gives us, we often refer to that as conviction. The Lord's troubling our hearts about what we are, what we've done, and so forth there. And we call that, the old timers used to call that old Holy Ghost conviction. You remember hearing that term? Holy Ghost conviction fell on the man. You know what he's saying? God's giving him repentance. God's troubling his heart, making him realize that he is nothing but an old hell-deserving sinner. Oh, good old Holy Ghost conviction. Now, you remember that word repent, it really boils down to this. It means to have a change of mind. And in the context of salvation, which is the beginning of our life in the Spirit, the repentance of the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to see ourselves for what we are. We are sinners. And I think this is so important for us to get down. It is not simply a change of mind about some things you've done. It is a change of mind about what you are. And I fear that so many people today are coming to the Lord as with this idea, well, I'm a pretty good person, but I've done a few things wrong, and so I want to seek God's forgiveness of the things that I've done wrong. And that's not the way we come to the Lord. We come to the Lord realizing that we are sinners. Repenting of our sin, that's that inborn nature. That's what we are by nature, by the first birth. And we come to God repenting of what we are, realizing that nothing we've done is any good. Even our righteousnesses are nothing but filthy rags in the eyes of God. And that's the idea there of the repentance the Holy Spirit gives us, and we repent of what we are. Not good people that have done a few bad things, but bad people, evil to the core. And we come realizing what we are and seeking the Lord's forgiveness. Your new life in the Spirit also began with the Holy Spirit enlightening your understanding of the Word of God, and thereby giving you faith, and you're able to respond by receiving Him or believing in Him. Remember we said the natural man cannot comprehend the things of God. And in order for the lost man to understand the truth, any truth of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God is going to have to enlighten his mind and enable him to understand that. And whenever he understands that, the Bible tells us faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. He enlightens the mind of the Word of God, and therefore man is able to realize that the Lord is the Savior, that He is the only Savior, that He has done everything necessary, and therefore he is able to receive the Lord or to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So those are the two things that are necessary in order for a person to be saved. That's the Spirit of God working in us, giving us repentance, giving us faith, whereby we can repent and we can receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, your new life began in the Spirit, and it continues in the Spirit as the Holy Spirit continues to give you your repentance and faith, and you continue responding by repenting and believing or receiving what the Lord says and acting in accordance. Now, the only difference is that the Holy Spirit, while continuing to give you the repentance to see yourself as you really are, and the faith to recognize and receive Christ as God's all-sufficient sacrifice for your sins, He will give you additional repentance to see things as they really are. And additional faith by enlightening your mind to understand more of the Word of God. So, you see what I'm getting at? He gives you the repentance and the faith to repent and to believe. That is how the life in the Spirit begins. But then He continues after you're saved to give you more repentance and more faith so that you continue repenting and believing. You realize this, our Christian life is not something it begins with one big act of repentance and the repentance is over. That's not it. Our whole Christian life is a life of repenting and of believing and of receiving. The whole Christian life, that's how it starts and that's how it continues. So, where it starts, but in addition to that, for the rest of your life, the Lord's going to be giving you more repentance, more faith, more understanding of the Word of God, and so forth there. Now, as long as you are repenting in response to the Holy Spirit graciously giving you that repentance, and as long as you are believing in response to the Holy Spirit graciously giving you that faith, you will continue in the Spirit of God. But the moment you cease repenting of and believing that which you have previously repented of and believed God for, the moment you cease to do that, you will cease continuing in the Spirit of God. Your spiritual growth will come to a halt. Now, that is what is happening here to the Galatian saints here in the book of Galatians. After repenting of their sin and believing in Christ as their personal Savior, they listen to those who came through. We usually identify them as Judaizers. They listen to those who came behind the Apostle Paul and said that they could and that they should do something else to guarantee their salvation. They could and they should be circumcised. That was keeping part of the law. You would basically be becoming a Jewish proselyte. And they said, now that's what you've got to do. Now, for them to be circumcised, but in order to somehow please God, not simply because they wanted to, there's nothing wrong with being circumcised or not being circumcised, but for them to be circumcised as a result of thinking that they had to do something to guarantee their salvation, it indicated two things. First of all, it indicated that they no longer saw themselves for what they were. That is, they no longer saw themselves as the sinners that they really were. They no longer saw themselves as sinners whose works were at best nothing but filthy rags in the sight of God. Now, they had to reach that point in order to repent of what they are and receive Christ. But then they come along, the Judaizers, and say, now, wait a minute, here's something you need to do. You know what they're doing? Now they're thinking, maybe there is some good in me. Maybe there's a little bit of good in my flesh. And so they are forgetting or failing to continue to see themselves as what they really were, that were just old sinners that deserved to die and go to hell. And the second thing it indicated was that they no longer were satisfied with the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, because now they're wanting to throw in some of their own sacrificing, some of their own good works. Now they had to realize, in order to be saved, that Christ's sacrifice was all sufficient. But now they come along as a result of this false teaching, and they're no longer completely satisfied with what Christ has done. And they feel like, now we've got to do a little something here in order to really make ourselves acceptable. So you see how that they began in the Spirit, but now they are no longer continuing in the Spirit of God, because they've listened to these Judaizers come in and say, yes, it's a wonderful thing that you've been saved by the grace of God. You've repented of your sin. You've received Christ as your Savior. But to make sure that you keep that salvation, to secure that, here's some things you need to do. And it indicated that they were no longer walking in the Spirit of God. Now, the moment you refuse to repent of anything the Holy Spirit gives you repentance for, or the moment you refuse to believe what the Holy Spirit of God has revealed to you in the Word of God, you cease continuing in the Spirit of God. You cease. It may be that you get away from what the Spirit of God originally did to bring about your birth in the Spirit of God. You'll cease continuing in the Spirit if that be the case. But the moment that you refuse to repent of something further that the Spirit of God reveals to you, and believe something further that the Spirit of God gives to you, then you are going to cease continuing in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Now, let me just try to give you an example or two. For example, let's say the Holy Spirit of God gives you repentance, which is what we often refer to, as I've already said, as good old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction. But He gives you repentance to understand that it's not right to listen to songs whose lyrics exalt ungodliness and whose music stirs your flesh. You know, the Spirit of God had to do that work in me. I got saved out of the hippie culture. I loved rock and roll. I did. And whenever I got saved, I remember, the music would come on, and, hey, it appealed to my old flesh. But as I would listen to that, and I came to realize, the lyrics of those songs, they don't really exalt the Lord. They glorify all kinds of evil and wickedness. And I don't need to listen to anything that has those kind of lyrics to it. And so I started being selective about the lyrics of the songs that I would listen to. But then as I grew in my knowledge of the Word of God, grew in the grace of the Lord, I came to realize this, that it's not only the lyrics that can be wrong, but also the very music itself can stir the flesh or feed the spirit, one or the other. And as I became aware of that, I said, whoa, wait a minute. It's not just enough to listen to music that has the right kind of lyrics, but I want to make sure it has the right kind of music, the right kind of beat and so forth there. I want to make sure it's something that does not stir my flesh, but something that lifts my spirit up towards the Lord. Now, once I realized that, the Spirit of God, and it was a little period of time as He was revealing these things to me, once He gave me the repentance to believe that, if, having been given that repentance on this matter, I had refused to repent, you know what would have happened? I would have ceased to continue in the Spirit. Now, don't get me wrong, I would not have lost my salvation. He, the Spirit of God, would continue in me, but I would not continue in Him. You see the difference? He took up residence in me the moment I got saved. And He's going to stay there, as we said this morning, until He sealed me until the day of redemption. That's one of the evidences that my salvation is secure. So He will not have ceased to be in continue in me, but I would have ceased to continue in Him, in the sense of walking in Him or living in Him. You see, here I am. I'm going along. Well, He convicts me of my sinfulness, and He gives me faith to believe that Christ is the Savior. And so I repent of my sinfulness. I receive Christ as my Savior by simple faith. And right then and there, I was born of the Spirit of God. My life in the Spirit began right there. And so now I'm going along here, and And the Christian life, it is a lifelong process. You ought to always be getting more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. If you ever think that you have arrived, it just shows how ignorant you are. And so it's a lifelong thing. And so here I am. I'm going along. I have not been saved long. And for the past several years of my life, it's been steeped in this ungodly music. And as I'm learning the Bible and learning about the way my thoughts ought to be, you know, and so forth there, and I'm learning that, and I listen to some of that music, and I say, oh my goodness, those lyrics are horrible. They're glorifying immorality. They're glorifying drugs and all of this stuff. I don't need to listen to any more music that has those kind of lyrics to it. And so I start looking for music, still music that I like, but doesn't have those lyrics to it. And so I repent of the lyrics that I'm listening to, and I step forward in believing the Lord, step forward in faith, and I'm walking in the Spirit. And then the Lord reveals to me, wait a minute, the music itself can stir your flesh, or it can lift your spirit. A lot of people there, they say music is immoral. It is not. Music can be moral or immoral, but it is not a neutral thing. And as I realized that, reading different books, hearing different sermons preached and so forth, that I said, oh my goodness, there are certain kinds of music I don't even need to listen to. The very beat, the very rhythm and so forth there, of the emphasis given, it will stir my flesh. And I don't need to listen to that kind of stuff. And so I repent of that. I believe what the Lord said, that I should not be listening to that kind of stuff. And now I'm growing in the Spirit. But let me tell you, if I had said, you know something, I'll quit listening to the ones with the bad lyrics, but I'll just keep on feeding my flesh with the music, you know what would happen? At that point, I would have stopped living in the Spirit. The Spirit of God would continue living in me, but I would have ceased living in Him. I would have quenched Him. And therefore, my spiritual growth right there would have stopped. It would have stopped right there. And a lot of times we fight battles along those times. Well, the flesh and the Spirit, you know, the Spirit lusts against the flesh lusts against the Spirit. And a lot of times we're fighting battles there. And you'll stay there and you'll fight a battle and you'll try to, no flesh will try to justify itself, will it not? And you'll fight that battle, but you'll finally get the victory, and then you can grow to another step. And so that's just an example. Now let me give you another example. The Holy Spirit of God, He will enlighten your understanding of the Word of God about certain things. And I can remember this was a big one with me. As a young Christian, the preacher getting up and he's saying, you know, every Christian ought to be aggressively seeking to win people to Christ. You ought to be going out there and telling people about the Lord. Not just good enough to live your life, let your light shine, but you need to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said every Christian ought to be doing that. Now, I was a brother introvert at that time. And I thought, my goodness, I can't do that. I can't do that. But he showed me in the Word of God how that I'm to be a witness. And as I realized that's what the Word of God taught, I had to fight this battle. Now, am I going to be a witness for the Lord? Am I going to go out and try to tell people about Christ? Not as a preacher, but just as a layman in the church. Or am I going to say, you know something, I am an introvert, I'm shy, I cannot do that. What am I going to do? And I finally mustered up the courage. And I'm going to tell you what, it was with fear and trembling that I stepped out and started trying to witness to people. First time I tried to witness to somebody, I made a fool of myself. A total fool of myself. But I said, you know something, this is something I've got to do. God said do it. And so by faith, I'm going to do it. I'm repenting of not doing that. And I just kept at it, and I just kept at it, and kept at it, until I became a little bit more comfortable. Never completely comfortable, but it became a little bit more of a normal thing to do. Now, if at that point, if I had said, you know something, Lord, I am an introvert, I am shy, I just cannot do this, and I know the Bible is telling me to do that. The Lord's given and enlightened my understanding of the Scripture to realize that I am to be a witness for Him. And if I had ceased to do that, you know what would have happened? I would have ceased to live in the Spirit. The Spirit of God would still be living in me, but I would have ceased to be living in Him. I would have ceased to be walking in Him. And at that point, my spiritual growth would have stopped right there. It would have stopped right there. You see the importance of living in the Spirit of God? Now let me tell you what often happens. What often happens? In response to God giving you that repentance, you repent and you believe. It may be about any matter in your life. I've used the illustration of music. I've used the illustration of witnessing. We could use hundreds of other illustrations. Those just happened to be two that I had to deal with as a young Christian. But if after having your understanding of the Word of God enlightened, and you and so forth there, and you make that step, but then you go backing up on it later on, you know what happens? You quit growing. Now let me try to illustrate. Here a man is, repents of his sin, believes in Christ. He comes over here. The Lord gives him repentance about the matter of music, enlightens his understanding of the Word of God to realize that he should not listen to ungodly type lyrics, that he should not listen to music itself that stirs the flesh, that he ought to listen to that which lifts his spirit and exalts his spirit. And so he repents and he believes there, and he takes this next step over here. And there's an illustration I used of witnessing. Though he's a shy introvert and so forth, he realized, I need to do that. He steps out on faith and repents of his failure to witness, and he says, I'm going to do that. And he's going over here, and he faces another issue, and he faces another issue. The Spirit of God keeps giving him repentance, giving him faith. He keeps repenting, he keeps believing, he keeps stepping out on faith, and he's growing and growing and growing and growing there. And you know what I'm talking about? The Spirit of God, that's that conviction in there. You know, you're just being troubled. And then all of a sudden the day comes whenever you realize it's been a long time since the Spirit of God's troubled me about anything. And yet, you ever thought like this, you reach that point like that in your spiritual life and you think something like this, man, I remember what it was like back when the Spirit of God troubled me, and something will come to your mind years ago. I remember what it was like, and I'll go back to the issue of music since I've used that as an illustration. I remember years ago as a young Christian, whenever I was listening to that music, and God, the Spirit of God just smote me. And I remember when He smote me about this matter of witnessing. And I remember when He smote my heart about this and about this. It's been a long time since I've sensed that. It's been a long time since I've been to church and the Spirit of God smitten my heart with conviction. It's been a long time since I was having devotions and the Spirit of God smote my heart with conviction. Man, I would love to have that conviction again. I'd like to just have the experience of the Holy Spirit of God dealing with me about something afresh and anew. You ever get like that? And you say, wonder why He doesn't do that anymore. I know I'm not a perfect being. You know you're not a perfect being, amen? You know you're not a perfect being. But why has it been that it's been a year since the Spirit of God's convicted me of anything? I know I'm far from perfect. Why is that? Why is that? I want you to think back in your spiritual life. Go back. Go back over here. Let me go back here to the illustration of the music. You remember when God dealt with you about that issue? It may be something else in your life early on. But the Lord gave you repentance of that and gave you understanding of the Word of God to know what kind of music you ought not listen to and what kind you should listen to. And boy, you made your stand for that. And you were very picky about the music you listened to. You were very picky about that. And other Christians in the church, they would even make fun of you. Oh, you're just, nope. This, I know this is right. And you made your stand. And you did that a year, 2 years, 3 years, maybe 4 or 5 years. But what happens over time is this. You got careless with that. That the Spirit of God had dealt with you about years ago. You got careless with it, and you started playing around with it again. You started listening to that music with those ungodly lyrics. You started listening to that music that stirred the flesh. You quit witnessing as you used to. And you know what happened? Now you're years down the road over here, but because you have gotten careless with something the Spirit of God dealt with you about years earlier, you're no longer walking in the Spirit. I not only see in the Spirit of God when I refuse to respond by repenting to something He has revealed to me as wrong, but whenever I go back on something that He dealt with me about years ago and I got settled back then, but I go back on it, the moment I do that, I quit growing in the Spirit of God. And you know what happens? That point, either one of those points, whenever it's something new that I refuse to do business with God about, or something old that I go back on what I've done, God dealt with me about, the moment that happens, I cease walking in the Spirit of God. And the moment that happens, you know what's going to happen? I'll quit the conviction of the Spirit of God. And I can come to church, and you can come to church for the next 20 years, and God will never stir your heart. And you'll sit there, and the preacher will preach his heart out. Evangelists come in, preach his heart out. And the invitation will be given. And other people in the church will be stirred and be getting right with God. And you're just sitting right there. And you say, God hasn't done anything in my heart. You know what happened? You're not living in the Spirit anymore. You've quenched the Spirit of God. You say, how in the world could I get back to that point where God is dealing with me, if not daily, at least every week, at least every month, about molding me and conforming me more in the likeness of Christ? How can I get back to that day? I'm going to tell you what. You know, those days are they're exciting days. They're kind of troubling days in a sense because you're growing, the Spirit of God's dealing with your heart. But it's exciting to sense the Spirit of God working. How can I get back? How can I get that back, preacher? Well, let me just take you back in your mind and find out what it is you've gone back on. Where that God brought you to a point and you said, I'm not going to go there. That's where you quit living in the Spirit of God. You began in the Spirit, but you're no longer living in Him. You're no longer walking in Him. He's living in you, but you're quenching Him by your very actions. Oh, listen. If you've been truly saved, you began a new life in the Spirit of God. The question I'm asking you tonight is this. I've dealt with that matter of beginning in the Spirit of God this morning. Now, if you say, well, preacher, I was here and I realized I need to get that right, that I really never have been born of the Spirit of God, and I wrestled with God this morning, I beg you to get that right with Him tonight. But the question I'm asking primarily tonight is this. Not have you begun in the Spirit, but are you continuing in the Spirit of God? And if you're not, why? You know. The Spirit of God's spoken to you. You know what it is. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? If you're going to walk in the Spirit tonight, I tell you what you're going to do about it. You're going to get it right with God in this invitation. If you want to keep Spirit living in you, but you're not living in the Spirit, just going with your old boring, stunted, stagnant growth, then you're not going to do, you won't do anything, and you just go out of here and just go ahead plodding through, you know, woe is me, endure to the end type Christianity. But if you want that joy back, you want to sense the Spirit of God working in you again, you'll get things right tonight. Let's stand.